T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tony La Russa joins us here on Dale and Keefe. Tony, Mark and Andy here with you. Good to have you here with us. So I just want to ask the question that we get all the time from a lot of callers, is that if the Red Sox didn't want to go with Craig Kimbrell and pay him all that money, why was there not a bona fide closer for this team going into the season?
I think that the decision, I think it was a smart decision, was that you put a lot of resources behind our starting rotation, not just for this year, but for several years forward. Now, the point of the starting rotation, and this is something that I think will be true in the second half of the season, is the starting rotation, the best way to win is still for the starter to go into the last third of the game, get through six into the seventh. And the point I'm making is, you know, we haven't done that in the first half of the year. You know, for whatever reasons, we've had a couple of setbacks here and there. And we're mostly getting like five innings, which has really stressed the bullpen. When we get our starters to get deeper, then you'll see the guys are out there that when they've been fresh and not having been worn out, they're capable of finishing the game. And a lot of us are very excited that Nathan Eovaldi is going to be part of that.
Hey, Tony, when you look at this team this year, and you mentioned the starters not being able to go real deep, there's obviously reports out there that the Red Sox could be looking at a starter. There's a report out there, Zach Wheeler from the Mets, but the Giants could be sellers as their season is down in the toilet again. Would a guy like Will Smith be somebody that the Red Sox would be interested in, and do they have enough capital to get a closer like him?
Yeah, it's always interesting, you know. Do we have enough capital? I mean, we're the highest salaried ball club in baseball. So the commitment by, you know, the ownership and the organization to provide resources is, you know, number one in baseball. But at the same time, you know, you've got to be realistic. And that was one of the problems. You know, I certainly don't blame Craig Kimbrell for looking for a bigger deal. But I think that, you know, if it looks like for certain that Nathan is going to be in the bullpen, then I think that's the reason that you see the possibility that you'll look to fill that extra spot in the rotation with somebody that's not in the club right now.
Tony, as we come out of the All-Star break and head towards the trade deadline, people always start talking buyers and sellers and what are teams pursuing. And generally this time of year, the type of trades that unfold are a contender trading prospects for a proven player, somebody that can help them to a team that is out of it, a seller. Does this team have the farm system to make those types of trades? I'm not an expert on it, but you read some of the experts, and it seems like some people believe there's just lacking of prospects that would lead to those types of deals.
Well, yeah, I think it's what's happening was that, as you know, we made some prospect deals, you know, the last 3 or 4 years, and that's what provided, you know, the 3 straight playoff appearances plus the World Series. But, you know, you're asking my opinion. I'll give it to you. I've been down for 2 years now. In spring training and into observing our, you know, we're definitely stocking the minor leagues again with legitimate prospects. And we do have a process. You want to make a deal, but I know that there's a very strong sentiment that this is a good time to rebuild and refresh our minor leagues so that we can keep making deals in the future. And if you want to try and make a one-shot deal for a guy that's a free agent or something and give up some prospects, that probably doesn't make a lot of sense for our club. And the other thing, too, which I think is kind of unfair when the experts look at it, if you look at our ball club that's on the field, you know, whether it's Devers and, you know, shortstop, third baseman, the outfielders, those are all products of the minor leagues. And they're all young guys in their 20s. So, you know, we have made some deals. There have been some prospects traded. But the results have been that we've gotten a very complete roster. And I think now it's, I'm not the guy that makes a final call, but I think you got to be very careful now that we're starting to rebuild that minor leagues with making a deal that's going to strip us again, and the only benefit you get is just the rest of the year.
Tony La Russa on the Front Office Report, brought to you by Cumberland Farms. Tony, in terms of this team and Nathan Eovaldi, who they said he's going to be brought out of the bullpen to be put in that role, how concerned are you with the guy who has never done that before in terms of had zero saves in his career?
Not at all, actually. Just real quickly, I worked for many years with a pitching coach named Dave Duncan. And Dave's favorite reliever, closer to look to was a guy who had been a starter, who has been used to getting outs with different pitches and feeling different, and especially is used to pitching in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. And that's what Nathan has. I mean, he proved that last year several times in the postseason. So he's got the experience to control his emotion. He's definitely got the electric stuff. I guarantee you, he comes out of that pen, there isn't any hitter in any club in baseball is going to look forward to having to get a rally going against him. So I just think the key is, get him used to pitching more often and being very careful with his usage.
Tony, you mentioned earlier getting the starting pitching going, and obviously that starts with your ace, Chris Sale, who at the break had some comments about being as frustrated as he's ever been playing baseball, not performing anywhere near the level he wants to be at. What do you make of those comments, and how do you shake him out of that funk that he's in?
That's being human and being accountable. I mean, Chris has stood up and said over and over again when he thought he could have done better. But, here's an interesting perspective, I think, that I was taught and we believed in. If you take your starters, you take your closers, you take your run producers, they build their season with wins and saves and RBIs and the batting average. So when you start getting a guy into the halfway part of the season and you're one of the studs and you're not building on that momentum, it's really difficult to overcome it. And what you try to do is just really concentrate on the next time you have a chance to go out there. And what you do is, and I know with Alex and Tim and Andy are already doing it, one thing we can really get going for our club is just go out there and get them a bunch of runs, get them some wins, just to reverse that kind of negative flow. But it's this is always going to come down to men. These guys are men, not machines, man. And when you're off to a slow start, and you start to try to force results, the opposite happens. So we've got to pick Chris up and get him some runs.
Tony, you know what it's like to try to defend a World Series title. You won it three times in your career. It's defending it, which is the tough part. And you look at last year where it seemed like everything went right for this team. 17-2 record to start out the season, 108 wins in the regular season. And this year, a lot of things have gone wrong. Is there something that you could pinpoint, one or two things, what would you attribute it to?
Well, the first thing I look at, fellas, is one of the beauties and one of the things I just to fascinate the heck out of me and our staff that every year is different. I mean, you have spring training. I mean, it's a blank canvas and you're going to be throwing situations and challenges and adversities and surprises on a positive side. And I think it's just part of it. It's just a brand new season. Not everything falls into place. Even last year, we had our setbacks. You remember, Price went down for a while. So, it wasn't like it was adversity free. This year, we've had trouble getting it going. Our starters have, thrown a lot of pitches early so they don't get deep in the game. Our offense has been a little sporadic. But the key is, and that's one of the beauties of 162 games, if you're good enough, you'll show up. You'll show up. And I think we were all really encouraged that a lot of teams that last week of the All-Star break, they get off early, and we went 5-1. So I think we're sitting in a real good position to make a rush. And I just think it's part of the newness of the new season. And also, you got to admit, when you come off a season like that, you have a tendency to celebrate a little longer than you should. And it's just human nature. You got to get that, strong dose of reality. But I think our club has it now.
Tony, I spent almost 20 years covering your buddy Bill Belichick, and he knows as well as anyone how to deal with that turning of the page, from a Super Bowl 1 year to starting over, starting fresh, getting the players to buy into that idea that everything is new and you have to earn everything. We heard Stephon Gilmore saying it this week. You got to earn everything each year. Is there any organizational regret with anything that was done in spring training, the way you approach the start of the season or spring training and maybe not turning the page. Even Alex Cora referencing last year during some early season struggles. Has there been any regret to the approach of defending the title?
Yeah, that's a great question. And first of all, it's a great example to bring up with Bill. And, you know, my take on it is that you cannot give Bill enough credit because nobody does it like he does and his staff and therefore the players, how they absolutely stop thinking about the past success and they really start at zero. But I'll bet you if you looked at Bill's record, he learned that lesson somewhere early in his career. And then he's just been a tiger about just grabbing it by the neck and making it happen. I don't think there's really a regret because there's such a strong character in this club that everybody believes in each other, including players and coaches. I just think that, you know, once you go through and you see sometime when you try to click it on, it's not clicking on, you'll go back and say, you know, I think I learned. So instead of regret, I think it's been a learning experience that Bill went through. And I really believe as sharp as Alex is and the coaches and the kind of character we have in his club, I mean, they'll look back and say, you know, I think we could have done, paid more attention to this or that. And you learn from it. You don't regret it. You just learn.
You know, Tony, before we let you go, you were the manager of that Bash Brothers team with Canseco McGuire. You won it all in 89. You probably should have three-peated. That team was so loaded. But being the manager of, I think, in my lifetime, the greatest leadoff hitter in baseball history, Ricky Henderson, and some of the story, he was just such an unbelievable. When I think of baseball player, I think of Ken Griffey Jr. and Ricky Henderson. And there was a funny story that came out there that when Ricky Henderson played with John Olerud in the Mets, he said to him, you know, I used to play with a guy who wore a helmet at first base in Toronto. And John Olerud said, hey, Ricky, it was me. Do you have a right. funny anecdotal Ricky story that you can tell us?
Well, I got a bunch of them, but I'll qualify with this. You know, that makes Ricky come off as kind of, you know, maybe not the sharpest tack, but Ricky is a really smart guy. He's very, very in tune. I mean, you know, he didn't have the best grammar education, but Ricky was, you know, he had to be self-possessed because there was always a target on his back. And by the way, I went for 10 years, my first 10 years manager went against him, and he was the most dangerous player of all the great players in the American League. He was the most dangerous. So the chance to have him on your team. You know, I think the thing about it was that I didn't understand at first, you know, Ricky talks in the third person, you know, Ricky needs this, Ricky needs that. And we had to come to an understanding about when it was a day that he should take a break. And it started out that he'd go to the trainer come to me, and I said, oh, no, Rick, you're not going to have this relationship. Well, Ricky can't go. And so I finally understood that what Ricky knows his body, when he felt like his legs were getting tired and he might pull something, you know, then he would say, I need a day off. And it's just a matter of communicating. And but at first, I was kind of resistant to it because what do you mean Ricky can't go? Ricky got to go. And once you understand and you believe and you trust him, which I definitely learned to do, you realize just how great a player he is.
No doubt about it. Tony, listen, we appreciate you making the time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.